Reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14 and verse 15. Luke chapter 14, verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. My title is Dining in the Kingdom of God. To suffering in the kingdom of God. The banquet of salvation. The feast, the great feast of salvation. Salvation in a soul, in a sinner's life, is like a feast. Join the feast. Join the feast. Come, join the feast. Because it is a celebration when you find the forgiveness of sins. My dear friends, just to give you a short context of this title of dining in the kingdom of God. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ dining in a home. He was invited in a home. And in that home, we find a Pharisee. The Pharisees were religious people, self-righteous, legalistic, ritualistic, very, very proud of themselves. And he found himself, that Pharisee, proud Pharisee, in that home. And here in verse 15, you heard the exclamation. He expresses himself with that exclamation. And really, by that exclamation, he was not sincere. He was missing something. He thought, this is the key. He thought, I am worthy of the kingdom of God. He completely missed the mark. He didn't at all understand what is happening. While Christ was speaking about great spiritual, high and holy matters, he is thinking about food. He is thinking about bread, about his belly. And this is what is happening to many in this world. Instead of thinking about your soul, you think about earthly matters. So he thought, the Pharisee, the proud Pharisee, self-righteous thought, I am an eligible candidate for the kingdom of God. I'm eligible because of my good works, because of my good stance, because of my reputation, because of my many prayers, because of giving alms, because of me caring for others. But as I said, he completely missed the mark of what really Christ was saying in this context. And remember, there are three parables in this chapter. This is the third one. And in verse 16, that's the occasion of the parable. And Christ speaks there about a certain man. A certain man. And if you understand carefully the parables, this could be only applied to God. Of course, with our small minds, our finite minds, we have to speak in a language that is simple. It is God who is organizing, who is providing, who is offering that big banquet. But Christ speaking here says, a certain man, a rich man, certainly, in a home, in a house, in a big house, in a splendid house, and organize that feast. The Greek word actually is that we have it in English, mega. He organized, verse 16, a mega supper. A mega supper. Big supper. Super supper. And it was certainly, this is not about street food. It's about an expensive supper. Oh, my brothers and sisters, and those who are seekers, those who have not yet come to the kingdom of God, please remember here, in giving this parable, the Lord is likening the kingdom of God, the salvation, free salvation, to a great feast. A great feast offered, and he is speaking about, here it is, plenty of food. Of course, we are not speaking about material food, physical food, anything earthly. We are speaking about spiritual food given. He is speaking about friendship, fellowship, family. And in that fellowship with God himself, when you have your sins forgiven, you fellowship with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great patriarchs, the men, the patriarchs, the men of faith of old, and you will be surrounded, we read in the rest of the Bible, you will be surrounded by holy angels. You will be at that table, at that banquet table with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This is the picture God, the Lord Jesus Christ is given to us in this passage. Plenty of food, plenty spiritual food, no more starvation, and no more spiritual starvation in your soul. But the context again, you see, two round invitation was given in that time when you organize a special banquet. A two rounds invitation is given. The initial invite was really sent in order to prepare the people. Oh, the servants will be sent and they will meet the guests. Oh, come, the master is organizing a great supper, a great meal. And what is your answer? We will be coming. You have to understand that from the beginning. That is the initial invitation. And when the day comes, when the day comes, another round is a group of servants is sent to them to remind them, today is the day, today is the day, come. That is really what is happening here. And this is in verse 17, look at it, verse 17, after a certain man, verse 16, made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come. Okay, the second stage is what is happening in verse 17. So the initial invite, invitation card has already gone. The RSVP has already gone also. They send their answer. And they are saying, we are coming. When the time comes, in due time, we are coming. And this is in verse 17, what is happening. They were told and they were reminded because they have all agreed and said together, I am coming. If you can make a pause in your mind, just for a second. The supper here is about the kingdom of God. The supper here is about forgiveness of sins. The supper here is about eating, not just a meal. You know, all meals organized in this world, every feast, every festival, every banquet, even if you go to a buffet, or you can eat as much as you want, next day, 2 days later, you will want more. It's just a meal, just food. And after some time, you don't even remember what you have eaten. You don't even remember the celebration passing by, like our world. But my dear friends, the supper here, to eat the bread in the kingdom of God, means to have eternal life. How do you get that eternal life? This is the great question. How does one enter into the kingdom of God? Here you are, here I am, far from God, poor, carnal, just living for this world. How can I enter into the kingdom of God? This is what this parable is all about. And it is very helpful because in order to understand it, here are three first things I would like to mention really very quickly. We won't spend too long on the parable and even the excuses given by different people. But there is the heart of the parable, and we will come to it in a moment. My dear friends, the first thing I want to put before you, are you seeking for forgiveness of your sins? Do you really want to approach the living God? Oh, he is high, holy, and lift up. He has no interaction with us because we are so polluted and sinful, wicked, and contaminated because of our nature. But look at the first one is God's tender mercy. The tender mercy of God. In verse 17 there, it says, come. That's the word. And when you go back to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, Isaiah said there, it is like God inviting us, come now. There is that adverb there. It is urgent. It is a pressing word. It is a command. Don't delay it. That's the meaning of the come. And when you say to somebody, come, it is obvious it means the person is not with you. There is a distance that separates you from that person. So the Lord is calling us, each one of us. It is an individual call. Come, come now, come now. That is the call God is giving to each one of us. And you can come here, reminds us again the urgency in order to obtain the forgiveness of our sins. Come means take. It means taste that the Lord is good. And come also means eat. Don't just come and sit under and look around as if you are admiring somebody. We don't admire anyone. We don't even appreciate anything except the living God, because he has power to wash our sins and to forgive us our sins. And come means, please don't wait until you become better. Some people, they say, I will come to the Lord when I'm a better person. You will never be a better person without the Lord. Some people say, when I get, I'm good. You will never be good in this world, because from cover to cover, the Bible says, there is not even one. No one is good. No one does good. We speak in terms of our relation with God. Oh, come. Come, because there is a house full of spiritual food. My dear friends, may I plead with you tonight? Have we lost any sense of dignity? Have we lost in our world, may I reason with you, have we lost any sense of good manners? When a noble man, it says a man, a certain man here, meaning a noble man, a lord or a baron or a baroness or a chief of the village or a member of parliament, or it's a noble man who is inviting you. Just to apply the poor illustration, just imagine you inviting, it's the birthday of your daughter or your son, and you are inviting the school, her school or his school, or not even, just to make it simpler, even you are inviting her class, her classmates. And guess what? At the time of the rendezvous, at the time everyone should be there, oh, nobody turns up. We have lost that sense of dignity. We have lost the sense of honor. Our world today, good manners are completely absent. There are in some cultures, even in our world today, what is called the pride of honor, the pride of the culture. If you do something that dishonors the culture, you know what happens? You must die. If a different tribe attacks and dishonors another tribe, oh, there will be war. That is what is happening in this parable. A nobleman is inviting you. But this banquet is special. I said earlier, this is not a takeaway. This is not about street food. This is a banquet that is given on special occasions. Special occasions. And the good news, with no cost. With no cost. I don't know which Michelin should I take you, but no cost. No cost. The Guinness record will never put that record in their book. But at no cost. We read it in Isaiah 55. Without money, come, drink, eat. It is all free. Free of charge, because God has done the great work. God has paid the price through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you and me may be forgiven once for all, once for all. Once you become a child of God, you will never lose that position. But I must come to the second aspect. The first one, do you see God's tender mercy here? Come. It didn't say pray. It didn't say run. It didn't say dance. It didn't say pour some blood. Nothing as such. And the second, in verse 17 there, we read it, and it says, for all things are now ready. All things. Everything is ready. Everyone is invited. You know who is the chef here preparing? Who is the organizer? Who is the MC? God himself, the chef, is God who did all the work. I wanted to even add there in my foolishness, God did the hard work. But God doesn't have to do the hard work because he has all power. He's so powerful that he does everything unaided by anyone. Self-existing, self-energizing, self-powerful, self-sufficient. He did it. Now is the time. Everything is ready. I only need to come. Is this too hard for you tonight? Some people, they say salvation is too simple. Oh, preacher, what you are telling me tonight is too simple. Yes, it is too simple. Salvation must be from the Lord, otherwise nobody will be saved. It must be simple because God has done the hardest and the hard work for us. But when it says all things are now ready, you see the word there, now. It is now. Now is the time. And I believe this implies the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. You know what happened at the cross of Calvary? A great transition. The greatest transition that has taken place, or even transaction. If you come to him, it's like Christ takes your sins and he gives you his righteousness. That is what is happening. No religion, my dear friends, will give you a savior crucified on a cross. He's sinless, he's blameless, and on that cross he took all my sins, covered sins, so open sins, hidden sins, and my guilt, my conscience, who is punging me day after day. Everything was taken on the cross of Calvary. God is good. God is love. You know what God does? This text is telling me God is inviting you personally for a meal that has long been prepared, carefully prepared, with great attention. My dear friends, do you know the temple, the tabernacle, the priests, the rituals, the ceremonies, the blood offerings, the Day of Atonement? Once a year in the people in the Old Testament, they have what they call the Day of Atonement. That's the only day which is open. The high priest enter in the holy place to offer blood there. But now, no more of that, because everything was pointing to one single event. You know what is that single event? These are not just 10 years, 20 years before Calvary, thousands of years. It was not a second thought. It was not a plan B. God has always in mind to save sinners. And that's why that single event had to happen. We read it in Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5. No time to read the verses there, but it says, when the time was fulfilled, or in the fullness of time, God sent his son, born through a virgin under the law, in order to die on the cross of Calvary. And in Galatians 3 verse 13 there, it says, cursed is anyone who is crucified on the cross. Christ took upon himself the curse you and me should deserve if we do not trust in him. My dear friends, how many words can I say in order just even to give you a taste and even to say to you, oh, you lose nothing. You lose nothing. It is the opposite. Not coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, you lose everything in this life. And when the next life comes, you gain nothing also. You lose everything. Nothing. But in coming to him, actually you gain so much. We will come to it in a moment. What you gain when you come. What are the blessings God is providing for you and me when we trust on the Lord Jesus Christ? But remember, the message is still the same. Though the message has been prepared for thousands and thousands of years, it is still the same. Come, all things are now ready. As Christ said on the cross of Calvary, it is finished. No more to add. The completion of salvation has been accomplished on the cross of Calvary. Oh, I must come to the third one. Remember the first one? God's tender mercy is here for you and me. I only need to come. And the second is to show you the preparation, the completion of salvation through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are told all things, all what is required to be done when it comes for me to be saved and to enter in the bosom of God himself, to enter in salvation. That is done. Christ has done it. No more blood to be shed. No more sacrifices of human beings. No martyrs even will give you that salvation. It is now available for you. The message is still the same. But in every parable of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a suspense. There is a shock. And here is the shock. What is going to happen? Such a banquet is offered to the people. What are they going to do? Look at it here in verse 18. And this is the shock. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. We are experts in making excuses. This is our expertise. We are all good at it. Why? Because of our fallen nature. Alibis. We are never short of alibis. We have them. And we know what to say. But I will come to it. Just to mention some of the arguments or apologies or excuses we give not to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. All with one consent. Actually, the Greek says they acted as one. They acted as one with one consent. It is, they don't know one another, probably, but they acted. You know why they acted? Because of their rebellion. Oh, my dear friends, the three examples that are presented before us tonight, please don't take them as special. These are examples. These three men represent all of us, and they represent all the poor apologies we give when we do not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are actually all the same. We can spend time explaining them to you, but they are the same. Poor apologies. The heart of the matter, please, I want to catch your attention here. My dear friends, the heart of the matter is not the refusal to come. The heart of the matter is really they hate the host. They hate the master. And it was their not coming. It was a declaration of war. We hate you. We hate your food. We hate your people. We hate your house. We hate your servants. This is what they were saying, actually. You may not say that, but without coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, is saying to him, I hate you. I hate the church. I hate the gospel. I hate your word. I hate your servants. I don't want to listen. Leave me alone. I'm all right. But when a man, you know that, when a man doesn't want to do something, one excuse is as good as another one. No. I will think about it. Can we meet another time? I have no time now. These are the excuses we give. Oh, I have another religion. I have my upbringing. I have my culture. I have my work. I have my family. I have my whereabouts. I have my holidays. Oh, the church is full of hypocrites. There is still room for one, but may I say to you and myself, I prefer to be a saved hypocrite in relation to God going to heaven than to be a saint going to hell. Why? Because hopefully when I come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will remove that hypocrisy in me. He will make of me a sincere person. He will make of me an earnest person. He will remove my games, my gimmicks. He will remove the guilt in my conscience. And I will appear before him naked as I should be. And I will appear before him not as a comedian or not as somebody who is acting, but as a real sinner who have only trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. So many excuses we give. But there are three excuses here. Let me just hint a little bit of each one of them, you will see how they are flimsy, illogical, and pathetic, each one of them. Look at what the first one said. The first one said to his the servants or to the master, the first said in verse 18, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. He gave an excuse, but not a reason for not coming. And this one, my dear friend, you know what is stopping you tonight from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes. I want to go and see that field. Nobody buys a field of such importance and go and see it afterward. Nobody does that. And anyway, who goes and see a field at dinner time, my dear friends? Who buys a cat in a bag? Who does that? Nobody does that. He can wait after dinner and go to see. He bought already the land. You don't do that. Nobody does that. But the lust of his eyes. You know what he's telling the master? You know what he's telling the host? And maybe this is what you are telling the Lord tonight. I prefer the dust. You see, that ground, I prefer the dust. I prefer the world. I prefer this vain world than believing in the Lord. He's saying actually, I prefer the land than my host. That's what he is conveying. That's his message. But I must come to the second one. This is more even foolish than the first one. And the second one said in verse 19, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. He willingly lied. You know, 10 oxen. These are like tractors that time. It's a lot of money. And I'm sure nobody will buy 10 animals, 10 oxen, without seeing them or testing them or tempting them first. You know what? What stops him from coming to the Lord? The first one was the lust of the eyes. But this one, the pride of life. Look how great I am. I can buy so much resources. I can possess so much. I don't need God. What do I do with God? It was really enmity and animosity in his heart. My dear friends, this man willingly lied. He preferred his animals than the need of his soul. But look at the third one. And if I may just say something about the second one, just one thought. He already bought them also. And even if he goes to the field or to the place where he bought them, this is a rich man. It's not him who will test them anyway. His servants will do the job. And actually, a night of rest for the 10 animals won't do them any damage. It will actually help them. So he is a big liar. It is just an excuse among many others. Excuses. This is what fills these people's heart. Look at the third one, verse 20. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. He reminds me Adam and Eve. Adam blamed his wife. He's blaming his wife. Shame on you. If I was standing before him, shame on you. How could you blame your wife for not attending? A newly married, wedded wife will be happily going to another wedding party. Just invite her. Bring her with you. But the problem with this one, the third problem, is really the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. These are the mechanism Satan is using to stop you from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you can see, they were all flimsy. He was absorbed by his own pride, and he forget the need of his soul. My dear friends, just before I close, salvation is so important, that it is even better than marriage. It is even better than father and mother. It is even better than friendship. It is even better than any social event and relationship. I didn't invent it again. It's here in verse 26. Look at it. Verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So salvation is even more important than your life. May I invite you again? Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, these people were offered a bountiful meal, but they preferred the crumbs of this world. What a sad thing, my dear friends, what a sad thing to live for the world, only for the things of this world, for the enjoyment of this world, and to be rejected in that eternal supper which is going to happen with the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. What a sad thing. What a sad thing. But good news. Good news. You know the good news is what? The banquet was not cancelled. For me, that's amazing. In the place of that master, it's okay. They didn't want to come. That's over. The children from the classroom of my daughter or my son, they didn't want to come. It's okay. Let's move on. Let's celebrate just between ourselves. And that will do. But no, God, you see, the loving master provides another guest list. He provides another guest list. And this is, look at it. The peroration, really, of the parable is given to us in verse 24. I read it for you before we close. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Those who rejected, shown their enmity, they will not taste the kingdom of God. They will not be in that supper. But look at the people who are invited. Verse 21. A new list of guests is provided by the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. And now the Master says to him, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. You see, the new list now is composed of all types of people. The undeserving, the unworthy, the disabled, the handicapped, the blinds, the halts. These are the people who now are invited. Those whom certainly the list which was just given, people have really to bring them in. They couldn't come by themselves. Oh, my dear friends, what a loving master. What a loving master. And the invitation, the royal divine invitation card was sent to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. He came himself to set you free and to give you everlasting life. That's what I want you to receive tonight. Everlasting life. Forever forgiven. And what is your RSVP? Very simple. Lord, I come. Accept me on your table as a poor sinner. I repent from my sins. Make me a child of the living God. That is the simplest answer to give to the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, when I do that, may I give you a short list of blessings you will receive? Of course, we don't come to the Lord just for the product of what we can receive. But because I have come, because I have come to him, because I have repented and trusted on the cross of Calvary, I receive a new nature. I receive a new heart. Answer to my prayers. Heaven is mine. I'm a member of the family of God. Oh, now I have power over sin. My guilt, that guilt which made me to be burdened so heavy, now that guilt is removed. I can fellowship with God. I can pray. I have been given the greatest power in this earth to be able to speak to my heavenly Father. And when life comes to an end, I could say, all is well with my soul. all is well with my soul. I wish I could tell you more, but here is the invite. Come to the Savior, come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the curse and the judgment is removed from you. You will be innocent before the Lord Jesus Christ. No more condemnation. A total acquittal, because Christ has taken all your sins on the cross of Calvary. My dear friends, come. All things are now ready. This is a command. This is an invitation. All I need to do is to come, believe, and repent, trusting in the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, O Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit will do the work, that work of speaking in the silence of the soul, that soul will be quickened and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that there is still room, there is still sufficient room. And now in His goodness, God doesn't want any seat in his house to remain empty, but all the seats should be occupied before the banquet starts. Oh Lord, we pray that Thou will bless many and speak to many and bring many to salvation. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.